The Beacon, celebrating when God uses the unexpected to do the unexplainable.
Hey, well, good morning. Welcome to The Beacon. My name is Steve Woods. I'm your host. The Beacon is a show where, just like she said, we talk about how God uses the unexpected to do the unexplainable. A lot of times that happens in and around through the availability of people. And today, we have a special guest that I am thrilled to introduce to our audience, a longtime friend of mine. We had the chance to serve together years ago. Our paths crossed, ironically enough, at Phoenix Christian, who, of course, is the sponsor of The Beacon. Please say hello to Veronica Morrison. Veronica, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Steve. It's an honor to be here and to talk with you.
Super cool. And also in studio, we have Jeff Blake from Phoenix Christian, superintendent.
Good morning. I'm excited to listen into this conversation.
It's really, really cool. And, you know, one of the things that we talk a lot about on our show is how God is not nearly as interested in our ability as he is in our availability. And Veronica, over the course of our friendship, I think that we have shared many moments where we look at it and go, you know, I think we talked off the air before we came on that prayer that we have in common, which is, Lord, if you really can use anybody, would you prove it? In my case, like using a knucklehead like me. And we've seen God do that kind of in spite of us sometimes, but always through us. So before we talk a little bit about the various ways in which God has been using you outside of your home, let's talk about home. Let's talk about your family. Introduce us to Alistair, your husband. Talk to us a little bit about how you guys met. And I'm not sure I know that story. It'd be fun to hear.
Well, yep, I am married. My husband's name is Alistair. It's a very Irish name. But he's a wonderful man, and we actually met at a Young Life camp. We were both leaders in Young Life. If you don't know, it's a ministry to teenagers, and so it has to be silly and crazy in order to be fun. Jim Rayburn, who's the founder of Young Life, always says it's a shame to bore the kid with the gospel, so we like to have a good time, and sometimes we like to do crazy skits. And so we were up at this camp, and they put random leaders together for this skit. And at the end of the skit, the guy who I was sitting next to was supposed to kiss me, and it was supposed to be really gross because he had saliva and soda, and everybody was going to be grossed out. And of course, he was going to put his hand over my face and not really kiss me. But I was wearing this huge wig, and so he got a little nervous before we went on stage. He's like, I don't know if my hand's going to be able to make it over your wig. And I was like, oh, it'll be fine. And we get up there, and he actually really ends up kissing me. He has no idea, but I'm covered in his saliva and soda. And so afterwards, it was like, hey, buddy, you kissed me. And he was like, I'm so sorry. But then from there, we got married. So whatever he did was right.
And that was when the early hashtag sorry, not sorry right. was born, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. And now you guys have been married how long?
Oh, that's a good question. I should have prepared beforehand. He's the date guy. I feel like it's been about 14 years.
That's a good guess. We'll take that.
Sounds right.
And how about your kiddos?
Yeah, we have three kids. My oldest is Elijah, and he's 11.
Wow.
This also feels like a quiz. Their ages keep changing, so it's hard. You know?
Right? How do I prepare for this test when all the answers change?
And then Liam is my next one, and he's 10. So they came a little close together, which was a fun surprise. And then
that's the Irish twins.
Right. I actually think I was at your house when I found out I was pregnant. I was super nauseous and I was like, what's wrong with me? And I'm pretty sure you looked at me and was like, I have a guess.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, no.
I'm sorry for that prophetic word, but thankful
for
Liam.
It was good.
Yeah,
it was
all good.
It all worked out. And then my youngest is Juliet. We got our girl and she's 7 and is very feisty.
Gotta love it.
Yeah.
Having lived in a house with all girls, I tell, you know, young guys that I meet through Young Life or on campus or whatever, I'm like, hey, you got to be careful what you wish for.
Right.
Because when I was a high school kid, I wanted nothing more than to be surrounded by beautiful girls.
And now you are.
Now I have three daughters and an amazing smoking hot wife who I'm really grateful for.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so you guys met with a sloppy kiss.
Sloppy
kiss. And then, you know, the rest from there, your relationship developed. You continue to serve in Young Life. Talk a little bit about Young Life and your heart for students and young adults and the history of it. We've had a number of shows where Young Life comes up.
Yeah.
Give us your 2-minute pitch on this is why Young Life is awesome.
Well, I really do think that Jesus changes everything.
Mm.
I think life in this world is hard and broken and hopeless. And so there are so many kids who don't know anything about the hope of Jesus Christ. And one of my favorite things about Young Life is that we go to high schools and places where nobody else is going to share the hope of Jesus with kids. And every time we take kids to camp and we share the gospel with them, or just in life or in Young Life on a Monday night when we share the gospel, there's always some kid that responds with, how come nobody's ever told me that?
Where has this great information been, right?
And so I feel like Young Life is a great ministry because it's the opportunity to go and share the best news there ever was with people who are hungry to hear it. And so that's how I came to really grow in my faith in high school, is that somebody took me and sat me down and shared the gospel with me through Young Life, and I was blown away. And then when I really started to give my life to God, I was like, God, you are incredible. You're everything everybody said you were. I want to give back to you. What would you like me to do? And he led me to this house. It was a neighbor to greet. It's a crazy story. I knocked on the door, introduced myself. She happened to be the new Young Life area director. Yeah, it was crazy. And so I was like, well, Lord, nothing's more clear than that. And so that was about 20 years ago. And so ever since, I've just been involved in loving getting to share Jesus with the lost.
Well, yeah, and along the way, you know, God has allowed some relationships. There's, you know, the chance to serve together with you and Alistair. For our listeners who may or may not know, my wife and I hosted Young Life in our home for about 14 years and, you know, converted a garage that we still use as a garage into, in essence, a meeting or club room. And I just don't really have the vocabulary to communicate to anybody who didn't experience or see it, the level at which that transforming power of the life and the love of Jesus Christ, you know, comes in and permeates a student who either didn't know or took for granted the gospel, did know and took it for granted. And to see, like you said, the craziness and how God uses that willingness to drop our guard and give up on our pride of how we look or what we do, and God says, okay, now I can use you. And so super cool to have had those years together. And so within Young Life, lots of relationships, you know, lots of mentoring, discipling of young women who now are adults with you know, many of them families and kids of their own, and serving in a variety of ways, and just to see how God continues to spread that. So when you think about your Young Life journey, there's a point where, you know, God really grips your heart, and it has a lot to do with not just the lost, but those that are both lost and poor and impoverished. And talk to us a little bit about how God began to shape that particular passion in your life.
Well, I, you know, as you know, I've been doing Young Life at a Christian school, Phoenix Christian, and a lot of people were confused. They're like, it's a Christian school. Why would you do that? And for a lot of the kids going to a Christian school, their faith isn't their own. And it almost gets taken for granted that they haven't really said yes to it for themselves. And so the best way to do ministry is to be with kids. And so I got the privilege of not just being a Young Life leader, but getting to actually be a teacher. And so teaching there was just such a wonderful season of life for me, to just be with kids and share Jesus and really watch them, when they came to know the Lord, have this background of faith from going to a Christian school that set them on fire. So even looking at these kids going off to be missionaries and doing these great things was awesome. But one of my favorite teaching roles was actually doing student government. And we, I was doing that with Jeff Blake, who's with us now. And we got to do student government because it was a Christian school, however the Lord led us. And what was really on Jeff's heart was the poor. And so we were praying a lot about that. And at the time, too, I was also in seminary and just really studying God's heart. And you can't look at scripture and not see God, how God so desperately cares for the lost, those on the margins, the disenfranchised, the poor, the needy. Like, that's just his heart. And so you really can't love him without seeing what he cares about. And so the Lord really started moving on me in that way. And at the time, I had three different people give me a prophetic word. One was actually your wife, Jeff. I don't know if you knew that. Say, hey, why don't, I think you would be great at Young Lives. And every time, which Young Lives is a different branch of Young Life, it's for teenage mothers. And every time it came up, I was like, no way, that you should do it. I think I actually told Jeff's wife, I think you should do it. You know, flip that off of me. But the Lord was really moving on my heart. And I think the core of it was that I knew the need was greater than what I could help with, what I could do. And so there's a revelation of, all right, God, I think I'm believing a lie that ministry is found in my own strength. And then that's when the Lord said, I want you to watch me glorify myself. You are going to get to see me demonstrate my power. Would you like to see that? And at that point, I was like, okay, God. I'm
Sign me up, yeah. Uh-huh. Well, and there's so much there. I mean, going back to the idea, and this is, I think, what you alluded to early on in your involvement at Phoenix Christian and as a Young Life leader and a teacher there, you realize something that maybe not a lot of people do, which is that being at a Christian school doesn't make you a Christian any more than sitting in your garage makes you a car.
Right.
You know, it's just because you're there. And I think there's a misnomer that comes along, you know, with all private, you know, Christian education, that these kids are, you know, they don't need Young Life because they just know Christ,
right,
or whatever. And I remember specifically, and you may or may not know this, that during that period of time, and I think you were involved with student government in the early 2000s, there was a class there of just remarkable talent that, you know, you just, all classes have their own great strengths and ability, but there was this class, and I'll call them out, a shout out to that class of 2002, who in leadership came together, and I remember I could take you to the room on campus where they prayed that God would use them to have an impact beyond the grounds of Phoenix Christian within high schools around the state, and I don't think they could have known. But cut forward to a handful of years later, not less than a dozen of those students had an opportunity to serve in Young Life, whether it was at near Pepperdine in Malibu or, you know, on the far reaches of the East Valley or in it, just a number of them in various ways. And
amazing.
It's super cool that God would put that on their heart. And then also to see how, and we'll talk, maybe Jeff will speak to this later in the show, how that precursor of what you talked about with regard to the missional aspect of relationship.
Yeah.
Has become part of the DNA of Phoenix Christian today. And so if you're listening to us, The Beacon, and you happen to just tune in, we are thrilled to have as our guest Veronica Morrison, a longtime friend, somebody who's been involved in Young Life, met her husband through Young Life, served at Phoenix Christian both as a teacher and also as a leader for Young Life Club there. And when we come back in this next segment, Veronica, I really want to have a chance to hear about how Lisa's prophetic word and that of others that you repelled for a little while led to maybe, I think you would say, one of the coolest opportunities to see God work in, through, and around you in ways that you couldn't possibly describe apart from His hand. That's what our show is about. That's why we're thrilled that you're here. Thank you for tuning in to The Beacon. Thank you for tuning in to 960 The Patriot to listen to us, whether you're listening on the radio on a Sunday morning or on the treadmill as you sweat and run. We're encouraged that you're listening to us. Thanks for tuning in. Don't miss this next segment.
The Beacon is presented by Phoenix Christian, a school celebrating excellence in education since 1949. Learn more at phoenixchristian.org.
Hey, welcome back to our second segment of this episode of The Beacon, airing on 960 The Patriot and sponsored by Phoenix Christian. We are so thrilled that you have tuned in today, and I am so grateful that Veronica Morrison, a treasured friend of ours, is in studio. We've been talking a little bit about her and what God's doing currently with their family, and then also a little bit about Young Life, sloppy kisses, and all of the fun stuff that goes with having an opportunity to speak into the lives of young people that need to know Christ and need to have an opportunity to experience His power in their lives. And so, Veronica, to pick up kind of where we were, Young Life was a big part of the ministry that God allowed you to be a part of. You'd been teaching at Phoenix Christian, and then things began to unfold. Let's talk about that.
Right. So I, as I was talking about earlier, was really feeling this tug of, wow, God really cares for the poor. And in a way that I felt almost like an itch, like an uncomfortableness in my own skin. Like, I think I need to do something, but I didn't know what it was. And so I was sitting in a Bible study with women that I've been in a group with for a long time. And we were just talking about, you know, different things, our prayer requests, and the gal in front of, or I think I went first and I said, I'm just feeling this itch, like the Lord's calling me to care for the poor in a unique way. I don't know what it is. And then the next gal was Ashley Tucker, who had been doing ministry in downtown Phoenix and just shared her heart. She was just saying there's so many kids that ended up becoming young mothers that needed to be ministered to, but she couldn't take them to regular Young Life, and she knew the Lord needed young lives in downtown Phoenix, and she was just praying about the person, and I'm head nodding at her and smiling, and then the Bible study leader's like, it's Veronica, it's you. So that was the third time that the Lord had given me this prophetic declaration of it's you. And so I said, okay, I'll pray about it, but I would love for you guys to come up with me to Lost Canyon to actually see Young Lives in action, to pray. And so when we got up there, as I had told you, I was a teacher at Phoenix Christian. And so as we're watching the girls play, they were playing messy games, which is really fun to watch. But I hear, Mrs. Morrison, which I was like, oh, no, this is not the place where you want one of your students to be. And so this young girl walked up to me, and she was one of my former Phoenix Christian students. And I just remembered seeing her for a year just looking depressed and dark and down and not knowing what was going on with her. And here she was looking light and free. Mm. And she walked up to me and told me that she had gotten pregnant and she was really broken and things were really hard. But then she came up to camp and just got to hear that she was forgiven and what Jesus had done for her on the cross. And she was just overwhelmed with joy. And I thought at that moment, okay, God, whatever you want, I'll do it. I'm all in.
God is always working. Mm. None of what we celebrate on this show or in our lives catches him off guard.
Yeah.
But it's amazing, isn't it, to consider how he divinely orchestrates those divine appointments to say, you came up here with a heart to seek me, with a desire to have me affirmed. Let me put it on the bottom shelf for you and say, here's somebody you loved, that you cared about, whose path crossed yours before, and here they are transformed by the love and the power of Jesus Christ in their life.
Right.
And it came out of their pregnancy and the transition and then being at Young Lives. So Young Lives.
Yes.
From that point on, what happens next? Do you contact Ashley Tucker? Do you get in touch with what happens next?
Yeah, so we jumped in, and obviously I had a lot of experience in doing Young Life, so it wasn't completely new. And so we started doing the ministry, and what it looks like is we would do an event once a month where there's childcare, and we do crafts and games and take the kids through the gospel through the year. So who Jesus is, that he's the Son of God, that he came to life for us to know what God is really like. And then we look at Jesus's life, and you can't look at the life of Jesus without falling in love with him, especially if you're a woman. Mm-hmm. His tenderness to them, how he handles shame and condemnation in a way that sets women free over and over and over again in the Gospels. It's absolutely beautiful. And then to know that the reason why things are broken in the world is sin, and that Jesus is the solution to the problem, and that he not only died, but he rose again, which is this resurrection hope that really is just the beauty of the gospel, especially for these girls. And so we were doing that, and then in the summer, we actually take the girls to camp for a whole week.
Right.
So if you
Which is an army of support,
right?
Because you have infants and
they bring their babies.
Sure.
And so if you would like to come up for a week to Lost Canyon in Williams, Arizona and
hold and play with babies, I mean, sign me up.
Amazing.
Let's go.
So I did that for a couple years, and it was awesome, and girls were coming to know Jesus. And then I had this one young gal who kind of told me really honestly, and I adored her, and she said, Veronica, you guys keep trying to have me memorize scriptures, but I don't think you understand what my life is like. Mm. My mom is dealing drugs and has evil men come into her house all through the night. I'm not a legal citizen. My mom brought me here illegally, and I have no choice in it, and I can't get a job, which means I can't leave my house, which if CPS, this at the time, found out, or anybody else, they would take my daughter from me. So I live in constant fear all the time of so many things. And she's like, and you want me to memorize scripture? And I realized, okay, God, I think you're wanting me to care a little bit more than just what's comfortable for me, that you want me to get uncomfortable. And so I asked the Lord, what is it that you would have me do in this? And again, through prayer and people, I felt like the Lord started nudging us to, we need to have a discipleship home, a safe place where girls can live and can flourish. And so it was really out of that we started Room for Me. But I will say, even in all of that, I the burden that these girls carry can tear you apart. And I remember just coming home weeping, and my mom was there, and my mom has a very similar story to these girls. She wasn't a teen mom, but just the abuse and things. And she said to me, "Veronica, I never had a Young Life, Young Lives leader. All I had was a neighbor who told me that the name of Jesus was good." Mm. And so in the middle of the night, when the night terrors would come, I would say the name of Jesus, yeah. And he would take care of me. So I think in all these things, Jesus really does take care. And I think when we go in to help people, we have to remember that Jesus is Lord, and he really is the one that does the taking care of. But we can talk about Room for Me more later.
Well, yeah. And, you know, and I think what you said there really summarizes that it isn't about us.
Right.
It isn't about what we bring to the party. It isn't about even our heart of compassion.
Yeah.
It's about him.
Right.
It's about his heart. And you know, the fact that the girl who you had in class or on campus comes back in your life, she's transformed. You see the light of Jesus radiating out from her. You know, reminds me again that that first evangelist in the gospel is a woman who says, "Come see a man."
Yeah.
That I met, you know, and just that idea that Jesus is passionate and compassionate about not just the lost, but those that would be disenfranchised by their own environment, by their own situations. And I think it would be dishonest for a guy like me, or probably a good portion of those that might be in the hearing of our voice, to pretend to really understand the kind of fear, the kind of discouragement that can come out of that difficult situation that you described, and with seemingly no way out, no hope, and except for Jesus. Okay. So in this next segment, we're going to talk a little bit about the home and how God provided a way out for this this young lady and others. Don't miss this next segment. God's really doing good stuff.
The Beacon is made possible by Phoenix Christian and listeners like you.
Well, welcome back to The Beacon, sponsored by Phoenix Christian. In the studio with me today, we have Jeff Blake, who we'll hear from along the way and a little bit at the end, superintendent of Phoenix Christian. We have Veronica Morrison talking about the ways in which she has seen God work in, through, and around her and others via the incredible ministry and vehicle of Young Life. And then specifically, we're talking about Young Lives, going back to Jim Rayburn, the founder. Every kid deserves to hear the gospel, every kid. And, you know, just one of my favorite things about Young Life is this idea that here's Jim Rayburn, who's a youth pastor in Texas, who's, as I've heard the story, office is literally at his church across the street from a high school. And he's got a high school group trying to get kids to come to church. And he's like, they're not coming, whatever. And then that light bulb moment, he's like, well, why do I have to wait for them to come? I'll just go across the street where they're at.
Right.
And Young Life was born with that concept of going to where kids are at, doing life with them, earning the right through a relationship to talk to them about Christ. And it still gives me chills thinking about it. It's just awesome. So let's talk in our story about a home for a girl and others who feel trapped, feel alone, afraid, and with no sense of hope. How does the home play into that? And how did that come about?
Right. So as I was talking about, there's this tension, right? On one hand, Jesus is more than enough, right? He's the hope, like my mom in the middle of the night. The name of Jesus is what got her through childhood. And so knowing his name is good is a big deal. But then also there's this real need that you see in front of you. And so how do you handle this tension of what needs can I meet, what needs can I not? And all of it comes down to the Lord doesn't like to give us step-by-step sequences that do this and that, and then you're doing it great. He likes relationship, and so he wants us to come to him saying, all right, Lord, what would you have me do today in this and with this? And so that's kind of how the house was born. Was somebody asked me, it was actually our pastor's wife, we were sitting at a Bible study, and she's like, if you could have anything for these girls, what would it be? And again, I thought of the girl I was mentioning who was like, how do I flourish in life? How do I do these things when I'm constantly in fear? And so I just said, I think a home would be really great. And so we started praying, not realizing what the Lord was going to do. But I had just been actually studying Jim Rayburn, reading a memoir of his life, and he taught kids how to pray by, he took them up to this mountaintop and they were camping. And from the mountaintop, they could see this luxury campsite. And he's like, wouldn't it be cool if Young Life had a camp? And if you know anything about Young Life, we're famous for our camps. And so the kids, this was before that, obviously. So the kids are like, yeah, we should have a camp for Young Life. And so he's like, well, let's pray. And so they prayed together. And again, the fruit of that prayer and what the Lord did. And so I'd been reading about that. And that night I had gone to a home that Living Streams had owned at the time. There was a pastor of another church living there with his family. And they were doing curriculum for our girls on healing. And so in the process of that, all the girls were weeping over their home situations. And so we stepped out of the house and I said, hey, let's learn how to pray. Let's pray for a home for you guys. And so we held hands. We actually took our shoes off, which is interesting. Now I realize what the Lord was doing, but we stood there and we claimed that just like the Lord had provided a home here for us to experience healing, we pray that the Lord would provide a home for each one of the girls, not knowing that that was actually the home that was going to become Room for Me.
Wow.
So they were literally praying over the spot that was going to become their home. So God's so wild.
He paints with such an incredible artistry and handiwork, you know, that goes beyond what we can imagine until you begin to, he begins to reveal, like you said, a little bit at a time.
Yeah.
You know, never everything up front to say, here's where you're headed, always this next step.
Yeah.
So you're praying over that home. That ends up being a home.
Right. So, that couple ended up needing to move out, and then I got a call saying, hey, would you, because I was actually again with the pastor's wife, saying, hey, would you guys go over, pray for the home? And they needed to figure out what to do before they left. They were going to leave the country for a year. And so they're like, well, you just pray real quick. I think you guys are by there. So we pray. The home was in complete disarray. It was unlivable. It had just not been taken care of. It was dilapidated. I didn't even begin to imagine it being a home that we would use for our girls at the time because of its condition. So we prayed, and the Lord gave us really cool visions of fruitfulness. And I did not get any vision of our moms. The other women did. I was like, nope, it's too much work. And so we were leaving, and I got a call from one of my leaders, Rebecca Vogt, saying, Veronica, I know I just quit my job, but I think I need to buy a house and live in it with some young moms. And I was like, okay, well, don't buy a house. Just meet me in the morning.
Well, you know, and here again, God's handiwork, God's glory manifests itself through seemingly unrelated circumstances that totally connect and relate. Well, if you're listening and you just tuned in, we're so thrilled to have Veronica here on the show with us today, to have Jeff in studio, and to celebrate how God has in many ways, at many times, used our availability, your availability, that of those others, Rebecca and others, and Ashley and Lisa, to use the unexpected to do the unexplainable, which is, of course, our theme, so that God gets glory and that a brighter light is shined on his handiwork. So come back in this next segment. Our next segment, we will talk a little bit more about where this story goes from there, and it's going to blow your mind. Don't miss it.
Phoenix Christian believes strongly in its rich history and bright future, now equipping students from pre-K through 12th grade. Learn how you can help continue its legacy of Christ-centered education at phoenixchristian.org/support. You're listening to The Beacon, presented by Phoenix Christian.
Hey, so welcome back to our fourth and final segment. If you've been listening today, I'm sure you're blessed and encouraged and maybe even challenged a little bit to hear the stories that we're talking about as it relates to how God has worked in, through, and around Young Life, Young Lives, Veronica, her husband Alistair, and their availability to ministry. And, you know, I'm compelled. We had the lead-in that talked a little bit about PC. Fun fact, as it relates to Young Life and PC, one of the most instrumental and influential superintendents at Phoenix Christian was Jim Wright. For a number of years, Jim was involved there. He also worked in the Glendale school district here in Phoenix for many years. He and his wife, Naomi, had a huge impact in the Valley for the Lord. And Jim, I didn't know until fairly late in our relationship, was a Young Life kid who was in Jim Rayburn's Young Life group many years ago back in Texas, one of the original groups. So fun PC trivia, Young Life trivia. So in our story, we're at this place where there's a woman who's compelled to do a house. There's you who's praying for a house. And then there's a church who has a house. How does God shuffle that deck and where does it go from there?
Well, as I said, I felt like I needed to put Rebecca on hold. And I asked her if she would meet with me in the morning. And so that morning we were meeting at a coffee shop where I run into an old PC kid, Carrie Bynum, and she, I know, she's wonderful. Anyway, so I saw her and I had actually been thinking, and I mentioned to her, I thought she'd be great roommates with Rebecca Vogt. And so that morning I said, she's like, hey, can you tell me again about Rebecca? Does she still want a roommate? And I was like, well, actually, we're meeting to talk this morning about something kind of big. And so I talked with both of them. They had no idea that morning about moving into the Living Streams house and running a home for girls for discipleship for teen moms. So moms and their babies and their kids, right?
So see, so it's true. God does work through coffee houses.
Right. Yeah, it's true. It happens. So they both turned out that them and the girls that needed to move in, I had about a month to make this home livable, which was...
Hey, I've seen HGTV. That's not enough time.
It's not enough time. It was not enough time.
And that's so, enough time when God's in it, right?
Right. So I was panicked, of course. It was a thing I didn't want to do, which is always how we see God do great things, usually with the thing we want to do the least. And so I went before our church in desperation and said, you got to help me. I need your help.
And I can see it. I can see you with a mic in your hand on the front of the Living Stream saying, hey, it's me. Some of you know me. Some of you don't. I'm Veronica. God's got me in this position. I need help.
Right. Yeah. And I had shown a couple of the young moms the house, and they were just like, Veronica, this place is crazy. It is more work than I could do. And they come with that mindset of it's their job to fix it. They have to survive. And so I looked at them and I said, you know what? The Lord is going to rebuild this home. Like, he's going to rebuild your heart. And I felt like it was prophetic that the Lord really wanted to give them this picture of what he can do and how he can make beauty from ashes. And that's what happened. And that month, people from all over the church came and used their gifts and their resources and their times and whatever they had, or their time, to just rebuild this house. And it was so holy and so good and such a beautiful picture of the church. And so the house was livable and the girls came, and every time they struggle, I remind them of, look at what the Lord did with this house. It's what he is going to do and is doing in you. And healing's really painful. Mm-hmm. Healing really hurts. People ask me, do the girls have so much fun in the house? And I was like, well, have you ever gone to counseling? How do you normally feel when you're doing that? Not so great. And so it's hard in the house because they're women healing. But the flourishing that I've seen, one of the moms who first moved in, she just got married this last year to a great Christian man who loves the Lord. And yesterday they had their baby.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
So, right. And so her family's grown, and you know, she's partnering with the house and working for us, and he's wanting to get involved in ministry, and just what the Lord has done is incredible. And that's just one girl. But these girls, not only are they flourishing in life, but they're flourishing in their walk with the Lord, which is so beautiful.
Well, and talk for a moment. I mean, praise God.
Yeah.
You know, to just stop for a second and have all of our listeners and us realize that we can give an account.
Right.
But the glory comes from and is due to the Lord.
Yeah.
Because this is a story.
Yeah.
That can't be told apart from it. You can't take a house in a month and do what these folks did. You can't go before a church and just say, hey, drop everything you're doing and do this. But God can. Yeah. You know, and to a degree, like you said, they were given this visual, almost like an altar in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Because they saw God do something that only God could do. And when they came around the corner in their life and felt that discouragement that the enemy is so good at offering, and began to internalize that, they had a visual reminder every day, all day, of how God could restore and redeem something that was broken beyond livability, and that he and that they are far more valuable to him than any house or anything, because of who they are and because of the fact that they're made in his image, and he wants to pursue them with all of the love and all of the passion that he has. Wow. So that was how many years ago? And
about 4 or 5 years. What's interesting is, so every girl that lives in the house, we want them to be Young Lives leaders themselves.
Okay.
So every girl who lives there, they actually disciple young mothers as well. And so it's this beautiful picture of What I really think about moms is moms are phenomenal leaders, mm-hmm. especially these young mothers and what they've had to endure and do. I was telling you before we started, I don't want anybody to see them as victims, because when they experience Jesus and receive his Holy Spirit, there's nobody stronger in the kingdom than these young moms. They really do want to share it with everybody, their neighbors, their communities, places where people don't want to go. They're already in and already bringing hope. I was telling Steve before, there's this girl who would show up to Young Lives with a car full of neighborhood kids. And I'm like, you can't bring these kids. It's for teen moms. And she's like, Veronica, I never knew love. And here is a place where we get to hear about love. How could I not bring these kids? And she's changing her community. And that's what happens when you really invest in these girls. You change a community. You bring hope to hopeless situations, hopeless places in our city.
You know, I find myself just overwhelmed with gratitude for the fact that God does answer our prayers, mm-hmm. and that all of these great movements, those that we've talked about today, have laced through them prayer.
Yeah. Huge. Prayer.
You know,
huge.
That every part of this story, I mean, it just can't be told apart from that coming before an almighty God who invites us to make requests known, to pray boldly and confidently, and puts within us this same Holy Spirit power that raised Jesus from the dead after his crucifixion. And they're not victims.
Yeah.
They're among the most powerful units that God could deploy
right.
anywhere
right.
in the world, in circumstances and going places, like you said, where the light, it's a dark place.
Yeah.
And they come in with the light of Jesus Christ. Veronica, it's amazing. And I have to believe there are those who are listening who maybe they've heard about Young Lives, but they've never heard the stories of the lives that are impacted. Or maybe they haven't heard about Young Lives and they know about Young Life, but not necessarily about Young Lives. And I'm just compelled. I'm compelled to ask, what are some ways in which somebody whose heart has been pricked through listening to this story can come alongside, be invited by the Lord to join him in what he's already doing through Young Lives? Give us a handful of ways.
It's funny, I ran into this man. He was a social worker and, you know, had been a social worker for a long time. And he was talking about this young mother he ran into and just kind of disregarded her and dismissed her and was just like, another one. Does that make sense? And it's so funny to me because I'm like, that's such the opposite mindset of Christ. Right. I think he sees young mothers and he says, this is worth your investment. Give your money, give your time, give your resource to seeing these young mothers come to know me as Lord and watch what I'll do. And right. so I would say, you know, don't be jaded and bitter.
Right.
Life is hard and there's circumstances that do that to us, but trust the Lord and say yes to when he calls you to invest in young moms. We have a really great opportunity to give financially through the Working Poor Tax Credit mm-hmm. to both Young Lives and Room for Me qualify, and it's a dollar for dollar match, $400 for singles, and then $800 as a couple. You can give and get your money back when you do your taxes. So this isn't even really giving. This is just giving and getting back.
Right, exactly. It's a no-brainer. And right. we've done whole shows on the unique tax credit opportunities for donations,
right.
you know, here at Through the Beacon, because it's just a no-brainer.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer to give to the ministry regardless of that.
Right.
But at first base, give knowing that it's going to be credited in full to your tax liability. It's
and
a no-brainer.
It's worth, I think these young moms are worth giving to. So I would say, you know, really strongly consider doing that in that way. And then the other thing is your time. I mean, if the Lord calls you to serve in some way, there's so many different ways to serve in Young Lives. It takes an army. It takes the church to really do this, whether it be by holding babies that and praying for babies that maybe have never been prayed over, and you may be the only one that ever prays for them. But there's power in prayer, like you said, Steve, and you could change a life in just laying a blessing on a child.
A life and a legacy. It's an exponential thing, because if their life is transformed, then those that come behind them
right.
are transformed. And you know, and those of us sitting in this room have been affected by the faithfulness of those that have gone before us.
Amen.
And I'm motivated. I'm motivated for every person that I know to have the opportunity to experience living a life where Christ dwells in you. And so that's fantastic. Well, Veronica, we will have some links tied to this podcast that are for Young Lives, for
Room for Me.
Room for Me. Mm-hmm. And we'll make those available along with it. I don't want to leave this segment of the show without giving a shout out to Living Streams, not only for their involvement in your story, but you're also working at Living Streams now. Yeah. Tell us, just give us a quick snippet on that and how people can connect to your ministry there.
Yeah, it's been so fun to get to be a part of such a wonderful church. And so my role right now with women is just obviously so my heart.
Yeah.
And so it was one of those things where, you know, we were watching young mothers age out of Young Lives, and then what do? And so seeing them get to be involved in church with other women, and that generational, you know, multi-ethnic, multicultural mix of women is so beautiful. And so I absolutely love my local church and
Fantastic.
Getting to impact it and be a part of it, and unity in the body. I think parachurches are great, but I think there's something really holy about the unity between parachurches.
Hey, it is not an either. It is an and.
Right.
For sure, for sure. Well, Veronica, again, thank you. Please give our very best to Alistair. We're so glad you're on the show. And Jeff, with that, I'm going to leave with you the last couple of minutes of our program to kind of put a bow on this and let us know what God's doing at PC.
Well, this morning, I'm speechless. It's an opportunity. Again, another glimpse at the body of Christ. It's another glimpse at an opportunity for this program and this show to make the invisible kingdom visible, and to watch and to learn what other folks are doing out serving our community. And I'm left with the word redemption this morning, and our Lord is in the business of restoring value to all things that have lost their value by our own choices. And redemption of lives, redemption of children, and This is an organization, Veronica and Steve, Phoenix Christian stands shoulder to shoulder with you, and we're blessed and honored to give you a platform to share and to celebrate and to compel the listener to invest in the tax credit system and support what you're doing. Visit the website, learn more about how you can support Veronica and her obedience to her Savior is serving our community. And just, you know, as we wrap and just to share an image I had this weekend, attended the class of 1956 reunion of Phoenix Christian.
How awesome is that?
It was amazing. And I was there about 30 seconds when a group of about five or six men came running toward me and wanted to share me their story as the very first football team at Phoenix Christian. We didn't have uniforms. We had to borrow those from Peoria High School. We didn't have helmets. We borrowed those. But those men stood around and shared the legacy of a coach that invested them 63 years ago. And so just to compel the listener, coaches, teachers, be obedient to our Savior. You're changing lives. Lives are being impacted. To learn more about how you can support the ministry of Phoenix Christian, visit phoenixchristian.org/support. Thanks for listening to The Beacon.
Well, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to communicate with you all today. Thanks for listening to The Beacon. There are a number of episodes available as podcasts. If you're touched by this, check out the others and do support the ministry of Christ through Young Life, through PC, through Young Lives, and find out where God wants you to go. Pray and ask Him to open the door for you. We love and appreciate you as our listener. Thanks for tuning in.